It's good to be here this morning. My name is Liddell Steiner, and I've been here before. I'm a good friend of Thomas's, and we worked together at Kidder Mennonite Church in the past on the pastoral staff. And when a good friend calls and says, I need some assistance, a friend responds. And so I'm here this morning. It's really good to be gathering together to worship with all of you this morning, just in song and word and in action. And this morning, the sermon title is 24. If you look up at the screen, I would like to invite you to think, what is the common denominator of all of these items except the number 24? Any thoughts? What might be a common denominator in those? It's kind of a trick. There really is none in the extent that that we could spell it out. But what I chose today was to think about what the Lord has entrusted to us. And we are all entrusted with a varied amount of things to a varied amount of degree. So the number 24 actually has no meaning, other than it's just a number I chose. Some of us may have $24 in our pockets. Some of us might have more. Some of us might have less. Some of us might have 24 eggs in our fridge. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I would suppose most of us don't, but maybe we have some. How many eggs do you have in your fridge? Do you have 5, 8, 10? Fingers, toes, eyes, and ears. Most of us have been blessed with 24 fingers, toes, eyes, and ears, a total, and not 24 of each. But some of us may not. 24 hours. I sure hope that we all have 24 hours of life to live yet. But there are people in this world that are dying. Today, tomorrow. How are we using those 24 hours that we have been blessed with? 24 words. 24 years of work experience. 24 friends. Shoes, pieces of furniture, Bibles, months. Can some of us walk or run 24 miles? I know I can't, but some of us, you might be blessed by doing that. So what's the common denominator? What the Lord has entrusted to us. There are things the Lord has entrusted to us that a varied degree, that we are called to manage, to use, to multiply, to give, to receive, to invest, to be stewards of. Stewardship represents that person who administers that which is not their own. Often we think of stewardship simply and primarily around money and tithing. And while that is important, and while we will talk about that today, it can't be relegated only to that. Rather, stewardship is about what God has entrusted to each of us to use. It's about moving us closer to the heart of God, to worship Christ. Stewardship is about making decisions, not out of self-interest or gain, about what I can get out of this all the time and the way that I can get the deal to work towards me, but it's about furthering God's kingdom in this world. It's about Christ's missional call on our lives to be a source of a blessing to those around us. Stewardship is about recognizing that my purpose for living, breathing, is primarily to worship and glorify God. And we can glorify God by being faithful stewards, not just of a percentage of money or hours on a Sunday morning, but by how we use and invest our lives in our everyday. If we look back up on the screen, you notice there's a wide range of list of items that we have all been entrusted with. There's no rhyme or reason to them, it's just things that came to my mind. All of these items listed above vary per person. It's not about having 24 of them all. It's not about, I have the most here. It's not about having the prize of what you have or don't have. But it's about recognizing that Lord has given us something. And what He has entrusted us with, we are to be stewards of. Remember to the one servant in Scriptures, to the parable of the talents, the master gave one, to the other 5 and to the other 10. When the master returned, it wasn't about how much he had or not had not given to the servants, but it was as what they had done with that talent, what they had been entrusted with. And I think oftentimes we look at our lives in limited factors. Oh, I can't do this, or I don't have that. I better not even try, right? I better just keep that one down the low, low. I don't have that, or I can't do that. And so what happened to the stewards? The ones who said, I have been given something, no matter how big or how small, I'm going to invest and make it multiply. Today I want us to look at 3 general categories: talents, time, and treasures. I want to explore each of these in more depth and evaluate how being a good steward of these may look in our lives. And I also want to advise, think about the variety of Bible characters and persons who used and did not use these very well. Let's first look at talents. What have you been gifted with? What are your talents? I see a hand in the back. What's one of your talents? I know, but I still want to ask you. Do you have a talent? No? All right. All right, well, you think about that a little more, and by the end of the service, hopefully you have some ideas. Because we all have talents. Up here, what's one of your talents? Music. All right. Right here, sir, what's one of your talents? Time. Okay? Using your time. In the pink shirt, what's one of your talents? Playing soccer. Keith, what's one of your talents? Come on, Keith. Yes, you do. Doing church work, okay? Aren't you good with people? No? Okay, maybe so. Anybody else? What are some other talents that you have? Music, yes. You keep thinking about that. God has entrusted each of us with special abilities. Now, whether we think so or not, He has, okay? It's not about if we have been given talents. It's discovering what they are. And so I learned early on that I was not very talented in music, academics, or sports. Well, as being a junior higher, that pretty much leaves you out of the whole school experience, right? But I learned that I shouldn't just look at what I can or can't do, but rather find out what I can do. See, God doesn't tell us to look at our limiting factors and say, well, I'm not quite sure if I have any talents, but rather He invites us to consider exploring further and pushing out what we can do. So rather than say, well, I can't do sports, academics, and music very well, in other words, I'm going to be a failure in school altogether, I was able to explore and divulge into more that I enjoyed drama. I enjoyed leadership things. I enjoyed helping and being an encourager to others. I enjoyed doing entrepreneurial things. I enjoyed a lot of different things, and those were some of my talents that God had given me. And just because I couldn't do the things that everybody else said am I supposed to be able to do, didn't mean that I was a failure, because God had gifted me with special talents. Very much so like all of you. You all have talents and gifts. How are you using them? How are you investing them? How are you stewarding your talents to further the kingdom of God? Oftentimes we believe the kingdom of God will grow through the church institution. And while I believe that the church institution can be an important part of the growth, the reality is, for the kingdom of God to grow, it needs you, the people, with your talents and your gifts, to be able to help share those with others, to help launch incarnational ministries in the community around us, so the furthering of the kingdom of God. It was neat for me to observe a summer ago a young youth who struggled with all of the things that youth are supposed to be able to be good at or have some capacity in. And we went on a trip, and there was a Christian person on that trip that had the gift of rock climbing. And he shared that gift of rock climbing with that youth. And it was so much fun to watch that youth just get lighted up with energy and excitement. Because for once, he found something that he was good at, that he was successful at, that he could do better than anybody else. And he found that in something that a Christian friend was able to show him how to do. That was a talent that a Christian friend was able to share with a youth to give energy and life and help further the kingdom of God. Business persons, persons in work, wherever you are, finding ways to use your talents as a ministry opportunity to be a good steward of your time and your talent is important. If we take a look at scriptures, couple people come to mind. I'm sure we can think of a lot more. But let's look at Daniel, a man of extraordinary talents. Okay? He was gifted in just about everything. He was smart, good looking, showed an aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. Well, by golly, he's got it all, doesn't he? The important thing this morning, we're learning about stewarding talents for whose purpose? God's purpose. Okay? We aren't just given talents to further our self-interest and our kingdom, but to further God's kingdom. Here was a man who could have made a name for himself for all of the wrong reasons. He was very quickly could have used all of this for his own credit, couldn't he have? And for his own glory. But what he did, he lived a countercultural life, using his talents that God had given him to further God's glory. Now that is a great story. Another, maybe less known scripture of, I think, people using their talents is Dorcas and Peter. In Acts 9:36, it says like this, "In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard what Peter and Lydda, heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, 'Please come at once.' Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, 'Tabitha, get up.' She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became well known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord." What's that last verse said? This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Here are two people using their talents. We have Dorcas using her talent as a seamstress. She's used her talent that God had given her. While some might say it was a small talent, it was a huge talent because that talent was used to further the kingdom, to share with others, and to help others come to know Christ. And here we have Peter using his talent of gift of healing to heal and to be a conduit for God's healing to a woman in need. And what happened because two people used their talents? The kingdom of God was furthered. That's a miracle. There are many more biblical examples as well as stories. For many of you, investing your time and your talents wisely. But I imagine if each of you could look deep inside, there are still areas that we can find that we can utilize and say, I am underutilizing this talent that God has given me. Are there ways that I can invest it in others around me? Whether it be somebody here at church or a neighbor, whether it be volunteerism or mentoring, whether it be your gift discernment ballot that comes up every year, thinking, what are my talents that I can utilize for the furthering of this ministry of this church? I know that there are ways that you can utilize your talents for the furthering of God's kingdom. Secondly, time. Usually when we think about time, we think about hours in a day. We think about how much time we have or we don't have. And I oftentimes am the one that says, I don't have enough time. I think we're all probably could say that, right? But this morning I want us to think of time in a different sense. Less in terms of quantity and more in terms of quality. Let me give an example of what I mean. I can still remember a good friend of mine, a teacher, who some of you may know, Paul Gingrich. As his health was ailing from cancer, in my frequent visits with him, he didn't focus on his life as a countdown or some bucket list of things that he had to get done. Rather, in my conversations with him, I continually got the sense that he found each day as a gift from God. But I didn't get the sense that he just had this realization when he found out he had cancer. This was a continuation of a lifetime of him recognizing that each day he had been given before and at that point and after was a gift from God. And as I experienced Paul as a teacher, as I experienced him then as a congregant, I experienced him to be a person who focused on the quality of that he could do in those interactions with people, using the moments that he was given each day to furthering God's kingdom. I can still remember a person asking me about my 3-year commitment to go to Nicaragua and serve with Mennonite Central Committee. So distinctly, this person, a believer, said, well, that sounds like a waste of time. Huh, a waste of time. I think they're referring to the fact that I wasn't going to get a 4-year education beforehand. I think they're referring to the fact that I was somehow going to get behind in a career that maybe I could utilize in a more efficient way. I'm not quite sure what they were referring to, but no, it was not a waste of time. It was time well spent. It was time well spent because God had put that calling on my life. Because I was responding to that call and serving Him in a capacity that I was given the gifts and ability to do. Maybe in some way I didn't get ahead in some capacity, but no, it was not a waste of time. Many of us could put on paper various quantities of time that we have been given. 12 years of education, 75 birthdays, 1,246 Sundays, 30 weeks of mission work, 5 hours of prayer, whatever the number is. It is what it is. It's just a number. The real question is, how did you spend that time? Was it life-giving to yourself and others? Did it bring glory to God? Or was it purely about you achieving a number, your self-interests, and your predetermined goals? Was it trial about trying to prove something to somebody? As I think about the couple Bible stories here, I think one of maybe that we might all kind of think about, and it's so easy to criticize this character, but we're just going to talk about it as we can think about maybe our lives. And Martha and Mary. In Luke 10:38-42, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a visitor called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. The quality of time that we can spend. Not putting the quantity of hours in, but the quality. This is something that I have learned over the years more and more. As I am a very goal-driven person, I want to achieve what I want to do. And if any of you know my father, you can probably see that and know that. But what I've realized is that sometimes goals are only that. They're just numbers. They're just accomplishments. But that through and through, we need to also remember there's a relationship component. There's a quality piece that we need to be intertwining and pulling in. And I distinctly remembered my boss as I got to Nicaragua for my MCC assignment, knowing that I was such a goal-driven person, said, Liddell, I want you to spend your first months, your first year, building relationships. What? Just that. Nothing more. Just spending time and being with the people. Not doing for or solving complex problems, but being with. And as I spent time being with and learning and engaging and developing friendships, developing neighbors, co-workers, it all of a sudden began to make sense. The quality of time being with people, learning from, sharing stories, helped me learn, oh, what I thought was a need maybe wasn't the need after all, being with. Or a great story that I oftentimes find myself reflecting on is the story of the disciples falling asleep in Mark 14, verses 32. It's so fun to read this passage, not in some critical way, but just in a reflective way of my life. Am I these disciples? They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to the disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Stay and keep watch. When I think of keep watch, I think keeping awake, right? Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you, what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them asleep. "Liddell, why are your eyes heavy?" They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." As I think about that scripture, you know, these disciples left everything to follow Christ. They gave him 3 years. They committed 3 years to follow him on his journey. And when Jesus needed them the most, that hour when he needed them the most, that quality time to sit, watch, and to be praying, they fell asleep. And I sometimes wonder if we don't do that. We focus on quantity of times and committing to those things that we can put out there. And we sometimes are discautionary of the quality of time in the moment. Those little things. Those seemingly little things that come up. Maybe it's that nudge to go visit a neighbor. We have that nudge to go visit a neighbor and we're like, "Oh, no. I'll do my voluntary service somewhere else. But to go visit the neighbor? No, come on, Lord. That's not what you're asking me, right?" Or that nudge to just speak with someone in the street. Those quality moments where God might be inviting us and specifically saying, "Now is when I need you." Are we willing to step up? And thirdly, treasure. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. That's such a good response. I love it. It's such a limiting response. That's the response that we oftentimes have in life. We're limited by what we don't have. Our eyes are blinded by what we can't see and what God can do. Typically, when I have talked about stewardship, I focus primarily on money. And there's a reason, because its scripture is full of teaching on money. It's amazing how much Jesus talks about money. It's all over. Yet we don't oftentimes talk about it. Our culture also idolatrizes money and possessions. That might sound like a harsh word, but it's true. We idolize money and possessions. If we're not careful as believers, we can very easily slip into that cultural current. How we steward our resources is a big challenge for every person, whether you're given $4, $24, or $24,000. Once again, it's not about the amount. I know people who make $5 a day and are good stewards and are content. I also know people who make $100,000 who are good stewards and who are also content. And I know people anywhere in between who are not good stewards and who are not content. It's not about the amount, but rather where is your heart? The reality is that one of the biggest lessons around treasure is the simple word contentment. It says in 1 Timothy 6:6, "But godliness without contentment is great gain." Excuse me, that was incorrect. It says in 1 Timothy 6:6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For he brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it." Studies show that when a person is asked how much money they would need to make to have enough, they typically say a number which is about 20% more than they currently have or make. Irregardless of the spectrum, they typically say 20% more. When we can learn to find contentment and learn how to live with enough, we will then be better able to steward the money and possessions that we have been entrusted with. How this works is if we seek to find meaning and purpose through our possessions, they will always come up short. Always. If we seek to form an identity through our possessions, it will always be hollow. Always. If we cannot be content with how God formed us and how He entrusted us and how He made us, then we will forever be left searching for what that which has no end. When we realize that God is enough, we will then see our possessions as more than enough. And when we realize that we have more than enough, we are able to find ways to be conduits of this love. Our possessions no longer need to be amassed and stored, but rather we can be given freely because we are safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. Not safe and secure in our 401k or our good paying job, but safe and secure in God's love, grace, and mercy. That's countercultural right there. When we learn to see our possessions as something entrusted to us, and when we are able to find contentment in what God has entrusted to us, we will then be liberated and freed to be faithful stewards of that. I believe that signposts of faithful stewardship are generosity, receiving. I put that ahead of giving. So oftentimes we think that giving is such a faithful point of stewardship, but when we actually can learn to receive, we are then better able to give. It wasn't until I learned the lesson of having so much and sitting people with persons who had much less than me and who were giving so generously to me and being humbled to receive is when I learned really what giving was all about. It wasn't about giving simply because somebody had need. It was about giving because God had given that person more than enough. Other faithful points of stewardship are being receptive to the Spirit's leading and prompting, simplicity, multiplication. Yes, God asks us to multiply what we have and how to use that. Wisdom and discernment. These are all points on that journey as we think about stewardship of how we can steward what God has given us. As we reflect on persons in Scriptures who were good stewards, who comes to mind? Anybody? Who comes to mind, good stewards in Scriptures? I'm going to go back to say the boy who had the loaves and fish. Can you imagine giving all that you had to eat that day? Yeah? What about Zacchaeus? Solomon was a guy that I find very interesting. He says it all right in Ecclesiastes, if that's who wrote the book. He struggled to live it out in his life. I'm trying to find the disconnect there sometimes. I love Ecclesiastes. Lydia, Jesus, others. Good examples of people who lived out that stewardship life. Somebody once shared an analogy with me as we were reflecting on the theme of stewardship, and I, being a farmer, I thought it was really good, so I'll share it with you. Poor stewardship is like manure that is sitting in a barn and a field that is needing nutrients. While the manure is in the barn, rich of nutrients, it can do no good to the field it needs as it rots in the barn. It needs a good farmer to recognize this paradox, that there in the barn lot is some manure, and the field needing the manure and the nutrients to help make that happen. Now, with the rain this year, I know it's a little difficult to make that happen, so we're having trouble with that as well at home. But that idea of that paradox of the nutrients needing to be where they need to go and how to help facilitate that connection. Likewise, as stewards of God's time, talents, and treasures, we are called to recognize the paradox that we are put in charge of certain things. Whether it seem like much or even seem like it's very little, let's not be shy or afraid. Let's not shut ourselves away, but step out boldly, utilizing all that God has given us to further His kingdom. As I look back, recognize that time, talents, and treasures are just three broad themes. There's also much more that we are called to steward in our lives. Just look around you. Look at what God has given you. My prayer is that each of you would be able to recognize those things, to step out boldly, and follow faithfully. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this congregation. I thank You for the many gifts, the time, and the talents that You have given each person here. For those of us struggling to recognize the talents that You have given us, I pray, Lord, that You would embolden us to reach out and learn, explore those talents, and see how we can use them to further Your kingdom. For those of us who oftentimes struggle with the amount of time that we have, may we find opportunities to focus on quality moments. Maybe just even brief snippets of prayer throughout our workday. Brief snippets of responding to Your nudge to minister to a neighbor, to a friend, to somebody in the street. Focusing that You do give us time, that we can focus on that quality of time. And for the many resources, Lord, that You have given each of us, to a varying quantity, help us to learn to receive and also help us to learn to give. Pray these things in Your name. Amen.